Please join me in the call to worship. We have come into the presence of God and captured Isaiah's vision of peace, where the wolf lies with the lamb and the leopard lies down with the calf. God is in this holy place. We come to worship in peace. We have sat with Jesus on the mountain, and we immersed ourselves in the extraordinary and wise teachings of Jesus. The challenging way of love for all, God is calling again to worship in love. We travel with Jesus and disciples of long ago, and in the glory of the clouds hear God's affirmation of the one whose life dazzled with the reign of God. God is calling again. We come to worship in joy. I invite you now to stand as you are able to sing hymn number 324, Open My Eyes That I May See.
Thank you.
You may be seated. If we come to God with open hearts and honest words, we will not be pushed away, but wrapped in God's loving and forgiving embrace. As we confess our sins today together, I invite you to respond when indicated, using the words printed in your bulletin, to say together, "Forgive our forgetting, O God, and may your realm shine within us again." God's Spirit affirms, "This is my earth, the beloved. With the earth I am pleased. We have not always heard or remembered. In our forgetting, we disconnect from and lord over the animals, plants, waters, and sacred lands of our earthly home. Forgive our forgetting, O God, and may your realm shine within us again." God's Spirit affirms, "This is the Christ, the beloved. With Christ I am pleased. We have not always heard or remembered. In our forgetting, we pursue goals and ways of our own making, and we act in ways that hurt ourselves and others. Forgive our forgetting, O God, and may your realm shine within us again." God's Spirit affirms, "This is my community, the beloved. With them I am pleased. We have not always heard or remembered. In our forgetting, we judge and complain. We expect too little or too much. And we cloud our witness with apathy and conflict. Forgive our forgetting, O God, and may your realm shine within us again." Hear us now, O God, as we silently confess our sins. Amen. Friends, God's Spirit affirms, "You are my beloved. With you I am well pleased." Love never forgets and is quick to forgive. We can trust the Spirit's affirmation and live with confidence that we are the beloved of God, forgiven and free. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ we are forgiven. Peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Let us now pass the peace of Christ to those who have gathered to worship nearby.
Good morning, congregation. My name is Renee Rico, transitional pastor here. If you're visiting us today, on behalf of our leadership, we welcome you to this service today. And it is good to be back with you after being away last week and staying up too late, getting up too early to watch Olympic things. And so, but I am here with you and glad to be back. As we worship today, I want to invite people to, if you need large print lyrics or You need a large print bulletin to see the ushers. We also have listening devices as well. We want to make sure everybody gets to participate fully here in worship. Also, there's the pew pads in your pew, and so we invite you, as you wish, to just take it. If you're a regular, sign your name. If you're visiting and want to give us more information, we'll gladly take that and be back in contact with you. Following worship through these doors, we have our coffee fellowship time, so coffee, tea, drinks, goodies. We invite you to come and have a time together as we fellowship together. Today, the class for Years of Ripening is continuing in the fireside room, and so invite those who are participating in that class to meet up at 11 a.m. This week, so we have another class that is starting. Sherry Plunkett is starting a class called The Prodigal Prophet by Tom Keller, and she will be reading the book. It's not like you have to study ahead. And if you want to purchase a book, she's got some copies available today. Wave your hand, Sherry, just so folks know. Yeah. So if you want to grab a book from her, she's selling them today. Tuesday evening, we have session. And then on Wednesday, we begin the church season of Lent. And so this year, we're having our Ash Wednesday service at 12 noon here in the sanctuary. And so we invite you, if you wish, to come for this service of scripture reflection and the imposition of ashes. On Thursday, we have Young at Heart. And so that's our once a month luncheon, and have a fun group coming this month called Harmony Fusion, with what is described as toe-tapping music. So I think it will be. And Bob Kraut, who does our meals, asks that you sign up in the fellowship hall if you're coming, so he can have enough tables and food for everyone. So also for Lent, we will be having two types of devotionals this year. One will be an email that is sent daily that goes along with our theme of seeking. So if you'd like to be on that email list, sign up in the fellowship hall with your name and email. We also have a calendar, a printed calendar, that maybe you're more of a, you know, hands-on person. So if you want to grab one of the calendars, feel free to grab a calendar as well. A week from Wednesday, we will be starting our midweek Lent experience, which we are calling Casseroles and Questions. And so it's a conversation. We'll have a meal together, but then around our theme of honest questions for deeper faith. And so really to be able to share and to explore some deeper questions of faith. That will be from 5:30 to 7:30 Wednesday evenings. You can sign up in Fellowship Hall for that. And if you're willing to come and maybe help bring a casserole or a side dish on a Wednesday or two, you can also do that. So I think that's it for today in terms of announcements. So I would invite Kathy Pearson forward to read our first scripture.
So our first scripture reading this morning is Exodus 24, 9 through 18. And if you want to follow along, it's on page 125. Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and the 70 elders of Israel went up and saw the God of Israel. Under his feet was something like a pavement made of lapis lazuli, as bright blue as the sky. But God did not raise his hand against these leaders of the Israelites. They saw God, and they ate and drank. The Lord said to Moses, "Come up to me on the mountain and stay here, and I will give you the tablets of stone with the law and commandments I have written for their instruction." Then Moses set out with Joshua, his aide, and Moses went up on the mountain of God. He said to the elders, "Wait here for us until we come back to you. Aaron and Hur are with you, and anyone involved in a dispute can go to them." When Moses went up on the mountain, the cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord settled on Mount Sinai. For 6 days the cloud covered the mountain, and on the seventh day the Lord called to Moses from within the cloud. To the Israelites, the glory of the Lord looked like a consuming fire on top of the mountain. Then Moses entered the cloud as he went on up the mountain, and he stayed on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. This ends our first scripture. May God help us to understand it.
Thank you, Bells. Today's scripture from the New Testament focuses on an event that we call the Transfiguration, and it appears in Mark and Luke as well. We are going to today be reading the story as told by Matthew, chapter 17, verses 1 through 13. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up on a high mountain by themselves. There he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. Just then there appeared before him Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. And Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, a bright cloud covered them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." And when the disciples heard this, they fell face down to the ground, terrified. But Jesus came and touched them. "Get up," he said. "Don't be afraid." And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus instructed them, "Don't tell anyone what you have seen until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." And the disciples asked him, "Why then do the teachers of the law say that Elijah must come first?" Jesus replied, "To be sure, Elijah comes and will restore all things. But I tell you, Elijah has already come, and they did not recognize him, but have done to him everything they wished. In the same way, the Son of Man is going to suffer at their hands." And then the disciples understood that he was talking to them about John the Baptist. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. This past week, we've had several kinds of mountaintop moments in the country and in the world. And some of them are similar, some of them are different. The first was last Sunday with the Super Bowl, which was right here in the Bay Area, a professional football championship on which a lot of other stuff hangs, right? It's no longer just a football game. We've got the commercials. We've got the halftime shows. We've got all the parties that everybody has around that. Another one, which is still continuing, is the Winter Olympics, which are in Milano Cortina and are continuing for about another week. Yesterday, a pastor colleague who's now retired but had been born in New Orleans went back with her partner, and the two of them were celebrating the Mardi Gras Saturday celebration. So that's when they do the biggest parade down in New Orleans, and of course, dressed head to toe in all kinds of things. And so around each of these, there are rituals, are there not? There's clothing, there's foods that mark what one does at this particular time. And all of these help to set aside the time and the focus for them. Now, today's scripture speaks of a different kind of mountaintop moment. It's one of the big stories that three of our Gospels contain, the other being Luke and Mark. So Jesus goes up to a mountain, like Moses, but he takes his friends with him, not like Moses. The moment arrives for God to show them who Jesus is and the company he keeps, and then inexplicably, but it's very much like him, Peter decides, "This is such a great moment of my faith. We should all just stay up here, Jesus. We should never have to go back down. We'll build booths and all of us will just stay here and commune with God." He even says to Jesus, "Hey, it's really good to be up here." I mean, what was he thinking, right? I know that low oxygen moments at high altitude can impair one's thinking, and maybe that's a little bit of what's going on here. I mean, you know, you got to think of it in the, you know, thinking about it from a historical point. Stay up on the mountain, never share what's being revealed to you. You know, that's Peter's plan, right? Hanging out with three amazing heroes, Jesus, Moses, and Elijah. I mean, you can legit call this a mountaintop moment, right? But all going fanboy is probably not the best look. It would be like Moses going up to Sinai, getting the tablets of God's teaching, and deciding, we don't need to share any of this. I'll just stay up here. Or to use a more modern idea, let's imagine you've climbed Mount Everest, something that will never happen to me, and instead of just taking your photos and climbing back down before your body breaks down because of how difficult it is to be there, you decide to stay because it's the biggest moment of your life, even though that's going to probably kill you. And so what's going on here? What's the plan here? And so I think from Peter's point of view, the high we get from mountaintop moments are fleeting, but it's really tempting to hang on to that feeling, right? I mean, as we saw, as we've seen, you know, athlete after athlete this past week celebrating winning the gold medal, you know, one can understand that the low, the crash that might come after. Now, in the Gospel of Matthew, mountains, in fact, are really important to the whole story. There are six big mountaintop moments here. So there's first the mountaintop of temptation. This is actually a story we're going to look at next week. There's the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is high up on a mountain, and he's preaching down to the people gathered on the plain where he's sharing the new rules of community. There's the feeding of the 5,000, which shows how the community of God makes sure there's enough for everyone. We have the Transfiguration, which we're going to look at today. There's the mountaintop, the Mount of Olives, Jesus' moment of utter despair, where Jesus encounters an absence of God. And then the final mountain in Matthew is Matthew 28, where he commissions his disciples. They're going to go out and make disciples after the Easter moment of resurrection. Each of these mountaintop moments in Matthew requires a change of perspective, a new learning, if you will. For example, Jesus learns that in the temptations, he must stay the course of his vision. He must choose, what voices am I going to listen to? And this is a similar kind of challenge for Peter. Peter experiences, he's like, wow, this is so cool. Let's just stay here. The opportunity in our faith to experience that wowness doesn't come along every Sunday. I mean, I do not think you are all having a mountaintop moment every Sunday when you come into service. If you do, I'm amazed and grateful. But let's be honest, it's more like having a good sustaining meal, right? That in terms of coming to worship. But sometimes you experience something that's special. And one time I had something special was I was serving a church in Fresno, and so I was part of a presbytery in the Central Valley. And it was a special, it was one of my last times to be with them. It's a special service where one of the then co-moderators of the Presbyterian Church, Villette Marie Cintron Olivieri, she was a ruling elder from Puerto Rico Presbyterian Church. She was the preacher. And this service just had special written all over it. The congregation that was hosting was a Hispanic congregation. A little amusing anecdote. When we had lunch, we had tamales, you know, with traditionally prepared. And we had a brand new Korean American pastor, and he sat next to me and he just looked at it. And then he finally just said, how do I eat it? So, yeah. Okay. Of course, it's not obvious. Here's what you do. Anyway. So the food was great. And then in worship, there were literally young boys and girls. They were all dressed in white. And they had a really hot band. This congregation had some amazing musicians. And so while they sang and played, these dancers, you know, they had these white tassels. And in perfect unison, they were dancing to this music. They were like white angels hanging before us. We had a moving communion service. Ville-Marie preached an incredible service in both Spanish and English to include all who were there. And so, you know, high notes are fun, right? high notes help us? And so I know that each of us probably have high notes in this room, so be thinking about yours. So similarly, Peter's amazement at his mountaintop moment was understandable, but he needed to learn that in this new community, the way of Jesus led through suffering. It wasn't going to be just amazing, showy demonstrations of the Messiah's power over the world. And so, as they go down the mountain in the scriptures just following what I read, the ramifications of living the mountaintop moment become clearer. Matthew's transfiguration leads to more learning. So we heard Jesus say, Elijah has already come, and they understood it was John the Baptist. Somebody had that question a couple weeks ago for Stump the Pastor, right? And so now they learn they will be challenged by the opposite of transfiguration. The collision ahead of them is the Jesus program bumping up against the world of empire. And so along the way, Jesus also makes another interesting choice, again, right after this passage, not with the inner group. He goes into the crowd, and he heals a boy who's possessed by a demon, the most outcast of all outcasts, and one that the disciples fail to heal. And so he tells them they must have faith enough to move mountains in order to heal like this. That's an echo from Mark's gospel. And here it resonates all the more, at least for me. Like being on a mountain, he implies, well, that's great. But it's even more important to move mountains, to change how the world works, to bring and carry more healing, love, peace, and justice in the world. The transfiguration makes it clearer who Jesus is. And knowing who Jesus is what really makes the difference. As I think back to that service I described at my former presbytery, I'm a little embarrassed to say that it was also the kickoff to a fundraising campaign to fund more churches to serve the rapidly growing Hispanic communities in the Central Valley. And at the time I said, oh, how exciting it is, but you know, it's easy to say something and not do anything about it. Ever been there? Yeah. So I don't live there anymore, and I wasn't, and so I was in a different presbytery, and so at the time I thought, oh, I make a lot of excuses, but really, I'm a little bit like Peter here. I've let the magical moment capture me, and then I'm not doing what I can do to make this world a better place. And so the material difference that God was inviting me to do is to make more of this happen, make more moments like what I experienced happen. And then I remembered I needed to write a check. So I am curious. I want to see with you guys. I want you to think of a mountaintop moment that you might have experienced. Maybe it's recent. Maybe it's a long time ago. And I'd like you to just find one person, perhaps. If there's nobody, if it's a threesome, that's okay. But just share, what's a mountaintop moment you have experienced? Okay, I'm going to give you about 3 minutes to do that, to share among yourselves. Okay? Share a mountaintop moment. about 30 more seconds, and then we'll wrap it up. What was fun to see was smiles on people's faces as you were sharing your mountaintop moments. Are there any mountaintop moments folks are willing to share with the whole group? Okay, Linda. Okay, so we had the experience of husband and wife, relatives of Linda's, who started with garbage cleanup, then it moved into pocket gardens, and then it turned into gleaning to provide food for people. And she spoke to the Suffolk Scots. So getting to see that's great, sharing what ministry somebody has done. Other kinds of mountaintop experiences. Okay, Darlene. Oh, okay. Yeah, so you had an experience similar. Anybody have something kind of different, an experience that you had? Okay, Gigi, go for a book that was a mountaintop experience. So Promise of a Pencil, guy is literally walking in the mountains in Asia, discovers children who cannot go to school because they cannot afford the pencils they have to buy. So he starts a nonprofit. So there we go. Any other mountaintop experiences? Okay, yes. So a story of walking up a mountain and then having a provision of water that enabled. Yeah. Well, thank you. I encourage you at coffee hour to share more of your mountaintop experience moments. So my invitation is, as you reflect on those, is to remember them with the delight, right? To take them in, to name them and claim them. Because the real question is the so what part, right? I've had this experience. So what difference is it going to make? What's next, you might say. And however you phrase it, the point is if we have a mountaintop experience that transforms our understanding of faith, then how are we going to make a difference in our lives? You know, in this room we have people who've walked a long journey with Jesus. You've done a lot in your time to serve Jesus. And it's great to have so many mature people of faith. And then also wonderful to have people who are new to their faith and discovering what that means. And the truth is, we're all constantly discovering what is next. You know, I'm looking toward retirement, and I have a friend who's retired for several years. He said, Renee, you know, you figure it out, and then something changes. And then you got to figure it out again. I go, yeah, that sounds about right. And so I wonder what kind of next things God might have in mind for you and for this congregation. So because we don't know where the call is going to end, we know there are likely to be twists and turns along the way. And we do know how this ended for Peter, right? He has more slip-ups, you know, and just as we are likely to at points in our lives, but in the end, it is Peter's faithfulness, symbolized by his name, which means rock. And of course, you know what a rock is, right? It's a mountain, just smaller. So, friends, rock on, because Jesus is calling us to what's next. Amen. So I invite you to now stand as you are able to sing our hymn, Transform Us. It's on page 6 in your bulletin. It's to a familiar tune. When you hear it, you'll know it.
May be seated. One part of our faith lives is offering gifts back to God. It begins with remembering that all we have comes from God, including our very lives. As unique children of God, each of us gives in our own way of our time, our talent, our treasure, in amounts that we each can afford. As there is not one right way to respond to God's grace in our lives. Our financial offerings happen in a variety of ways, too. They may be placed in the box in the narthex, mailed to the church, even transferred from our bank accounts, or given using the QR code located in the pew pocket in front of you. No matter how it is given, each offering is faith in action, upon which we now ask God's blessing. Blessed are you, O God, maker of all things. Through your goodness, you have blessed us with the gifts of life, time, and possessions. Use us and what we have given to share your love and word with the world through Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Let us continue in prayer. O Lord, you call us to go to the mountaintop with you. And we follow, not sure of what is to happen. But we like mountaintops. We like the view from up here. We like mountaintop experiences. And so, Lord, sometimes we need mountaintop experiences with you. When our days are dark and dreary, when our hearts are heavy, when the valleys seem more depressing than ever. Lord, may our mountaintop experience fill our hearts with your light. May we be filled with your love. May we be filled with hope. Lord, we are aware that just as Moses and your disciples were changed by their experiences, that we too are changed and transformed into the image of Christ by your mercy. Lord, may we have unveiled faces that reflect your love, your hope, and your light. We pray that we might send light to those places where darkness reigns, among them Gaza and Ukraine and Minnesota. We pray to send light to the prisons where people are detained and suffer. We pray for light to go to those without homes who struggle through winter weather, and to those who are hungry in a country of plenty. We are thankful for leaders who stand for justice and truth and will not allow the guilty to hide in silence, for their courage to stand with the least of these, and for those who are willing to change their minds when the facts demand it. And Lord, we add to these prayers for those in our church community, especially today, Tara Latavias and Pat Walton, but also Ron, Victoria, Katie, Nick, Manuel, Noel, Bob, Lynn, Tom, Richard, Janine, and Dennis. All these things we pray in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. So friends, I invite you to stand as you are able for our closing hymn, number 220, All People That on Earth Do Dwell. So friends, as we leave this place, go with the deep peace of the Son of Peace, which is quick as the wave, pervasive as the air, quiet as the earth and shining like a star. Deep peace of the Son of Peace to you all. Amen. Amen. Go in peace.